Hello! Come in, sit down, get comfortable. Welcome to the first episode of The American Revolutions. How do Americans define and fight for the American dream? This American Revolutions podcast series will get you started in answering that question by explaining the details of history that your textbook left out. These are the stories of real people, just like you, who realized the government was not treating them fairly, so they decided to fight for change. Episode 1, The Populist Party. Have you heard of the American Populist Movement? What do you already know about it? Did you know that it was led by a group of American farmers? What historians call populism was a grassroots movement started by American farmers in the 1880s to challenge the growing power of corporations in the American economy. So let's think. We need some context. In the 1880s, the American South and the Midwest were mostly settled by poor farming families. They didn't own a lot of land or have a lot of money, but farming was the only way they had to make a living, because there weren't many other opportunities in the 1880s. You know, no TV, no phones, no Facebook, no Hollywood. There aren't a lot of different careers available for people. In the South, farmers mostly grew cotton. In the Midwest, they grew wheat and other grains. In the 1880s, farmers were suffering in the midst of an American economic crisis that began after the Civil War ended in 1865. The economic problems really hit hard by 1880, when the prices that farmers could sell their crops for went way, way down. For example, a farmer could sell one bushel of wheat for $2 in 1867, but in 1887, the same farmer could sell one bushel of wheat for only 68 cents. That's not a lot of money. Since prices were so low, it was very hard for farmers to earn profit. To make things worse for the farmers, railroad companies were growing stronger. Railroads were built all over America by the 1880s, but there were only a few companies who controlled all of the biggest railroads. This meant that those companies had a monopoly over the railroads, and they could charge the farmers outrageously high prices to ship their cotton or their wheat to sell in different parts of the country. Farmers earned so little money that they could hardly afford to ship their crops to markets. Even worse, many farmers were stuck in a system of serious debt. Poor farmers just didn't have much cash money to spend on the supplies they needed, like farm tools and food for their families. So to buy supplies, they got loans from local creditors or merchants in the towns where they lived. At the start of a growing season, the farmer would go to the store and pick out all the supplies he needed, and the store owner would keep track. Then, at the end of the growing season, after the farmer harvested his cotton or his wheat, he would go back to the store and pay the store owner with some of his crops instead of cash. The problem is that the farmers would be so far in debt that they would have to hand over all of the cotton they grew that year, and sometimes even mortgage the crop they intended to grow next year. This started a system where the farmers had no cash and were always in debt to local store owners. They spent the whole year growing their crop and then had to turn it all over to the store and didn't have any left over to sell. So the farmers did not just sit back and take it. They fought for change. In 1882, a group of farmers in Texas started an association called the Farmers Alliance. By 1885, the Texas Farmers Alliance had 50,000 members, and by 1887, 2 years later, they had 200,000 members. The farmers realized that alone as individuals they were poor, but if they joined together in a group, they could have more power. The Texas Farmers Alliance built big warehouses to make communes where the farmers could pool all of their cotton together to sell in bulk. Selling cotton or wheat to big companies in bulk let the farmers earn much more money so they wouldn't have to stay in debt to their local store owners. But first, they needed the money to build these co-ops, so they had to take out loans from banks. Banks wouldn't just give out loans to poor farmers with no money. So the better-off middle-class farmers got loans and shared them with the poorer farmers. They would all sink or swim together. Soon, other farmers' alliances grew in other states, like Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Nebraska, North Carolina, and South Carolina. The original Texas Alliance sent representatives all over the South and the Midwest to get the word out to more farmers to join. At the height of their power, the alliances had over 1.2 million members. They were very inclusive of gender and race. They made a point to recruit women and African Americans. One out of every six members was black. One woman, named Mary Elizabeth Lease, was a leader in the alliances and wrote a pamphlet called The Populist Uprising, where she said,
"Wall Street owns the country. It is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but a government of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street. The great common people of this country are slaves, and monopoly is the master. What you farmers need to do is raise less corn and more hell."
The farmers' alliances came together to form the Populist Political Party, also called the People's Party, to gain more political power. They didn't believe in the Democratic or the Republican parties, because neither of those parties was helping the farmers, so they started their own. They were successful in the 1890s and elected representatives to many state legislatures. They even had a campaign song called The People's Jubilee for the elections of 1892 to share their hopes and dreams. One of the verses goes like this. "The working people are getting tired of having no home or land. So now, they say, to run this government, they're going to try their hand. There's gold and silver in the White House cellar, and the workers all want some, for they know it will be all counted out when the People's Party comes." The Populist Party, or the People's Party movement, was a strong force in the 1880s and 1890s because poor farmers stood up and said no to a government that supported big businesses and railroad companies. Instead of staying stuck in a system of debt where they had no money, they fought for their rights and said it wasn't fair for the government to let them live in such poverty. They wanted a better life. To get that life, they built communes where they could pool all of their money and resources together to be able to buy the things they needed to survive. This model challenged the way the American economy is set up, where a few people are very rich and a lot of people are very poor. The populist farmers had intelligent ideas about new ways to share their profits so they wouldn't have to live in poverty. Here are some questions to think about as you discuss more about populism. What were the farmers in the People's Party frustrated with? What did they want to change in America? Why do you think they lost power and faded away after the 1890s? Why do you think populism is important to know about? What was their vision of the American dream?